Now, if you have a Bible and you'd like to look up the scriptures, the first one is in the Gospel by Luke, and chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, verse or two in the Epistle to Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now one verse, again in the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Speaking about the Lord Jesus again. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now I want to read two verses in the Old Testament. The first one is in the book of Isaiah and chapter 63. Just want to borrow one little statement at the end of verse 1, but we'll read the verse. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And in the next book, Jeremiah in chapter 8. Verse verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. I think that should be enough. Tonight, dear friends, we want to speak very simply on this subject of being saved. Saved. We sang of it in our hymns there, wonderful hymns, about the joy of being saved. Not only the joy of being saved, but coming to know this wonderful person, the joy of him, knowing him, who is indeed the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang about him, and indeed, dear friends, the gospel is all about Christ. Of all that he has done, whereby you and I can be saved, can be made right with God, can be brought into such wonderful blessings. It's all of him. And that, my dear friend, is why we make much of Christ. Much of Christ. And our desire tonight is that you too might come and have this wonderful experience, knowing him as your Lord and Savior, of being able to say, yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. You know, it's a term of ridicule today. We see it on stickers on the car about Jesus saves certain things. Not on my wages, he couldn't. But that's the cynical attitude of man today. Speaking about this wonderful person in such a cynical way. But tonight, we want to present him to you as the one who can meet you in all your need. You know, years ago, I heard a statement from this same place, and I used to think about it, what a true statement it is. And I often say it from the platform, that unless a person comes to the knowledge of his or her need, they will remain forever unblessed. And dear friend, whether you realize it tonight or not, that you stand in need of this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first went to a gospel meeting, just before going out to the meeting, I said to someone that I was going to a gospel meeting. Strange thing. Never been before. Been invited. Decided to go and said I was going to the gospel meeting. I always recall what they said. They said, you'll be getting yourself saved. And being a young man at that time, I thought, no, no way, no chance. The truth of the matter was, I hadn't a clue what they were talking about, getting saved. But it wasn't long going to these meetings that I realized that I needed to be saved. I needed to be right with God. There was something lacking in my life. I realized very soon, and thanks be to God for this, realized very soon that there was such a person who could meet me in my need. Amen. And how many in this room tonight can rejoice in the moment when they were brought to this realization that they were sinners in God's sight, but blessed be God, he had provided such a Savior who could save them. And who was able to say to them, thy sins be forgiven thee. No, I love that statement of the Lord. I love that statement of the Lord. You could visualize as he sees people coming to him in their illness, physical illness, and how the Lord could be able to say to them, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were those around. You could hear him say it. Well, we could see him curing the ill, giving sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and so on. But what is he saying now? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Dear friends, he's the only one who can say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I was glad the night, the day I heard Christ saying, thy sins are forgiven thee. A few weeks ago, in the local company where I come from, we were considering Romans 10. And this verse, the first verse, which we didn't read tonight, seemed to permeate the meeting. Paul, speaking here, the Apostle Paul, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That they might be saved. And tonight we're using it. And we can assure you, dear friends, that we who are saved in this place, we who belong to Christ, have a desire to see you secured for Christ, belonging to him. Our heart's desire to God and prayer to God, if you had been in that prayer meeting just a few moments ago, you would have realized that they had that desire that you might be saved. You might be saved. And so, Paul says that his heart's desire and prayer to God was that Israel might be saved. But for you tonight, dear friends, our desire is that you might be saved. You might be secured for Christ. That you might realize that your sins are forgiven. That you might realize that you have peace with God. You might realize that this hope for heaven. Well, you know, dear friends, we are waiting on the coming of the Lord. We are waiting for Christ to come into the air. The same one whom we've trusted as our Lord and Savior. He's going to come himself. And he's going to call all those who belong to him to be up there with himself. Will you be there? Our desire tonight and our prayer to God is that you might be able to say, yes, I'll be there. Can you say it? Or that you might be able to say it tonight. That they might be saved. The Bible, you know, it often brings contrasting things. Things that contrast. And I think we've got one tonight. We've got those who are saved. And over against that, we have those who are not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Not saved. Now, we don't want you to go out the room tonight being unsaved. We want you for Christ tonight. This is why we're here tonight, that you might be secured for Christ and know the joy of this wonderful position. If anyone was to say to me, well, what does it mean to be saved? Well, in my simple way, in the way I understood it and enjoyed it over the many years, it's that I've been brought into such a relationship and standing before God. My sins are forgiven. I have peace with God. I have that blessed hope for heaven. And that to me, dear friend, is simply what it means to be saved. Well, if a person is not saved, then they don't belong to God. They don't belong to Christ. They're still in their sins. They have no prospect past this life. They look to eternity with trembling. My dear friend, we don't want you in this position tonight. But the sad thing about Jeremiah 8:20, it would seem that it was too late to do anything about it. The harvest was past. The summer was ended. And they weren't saved. But we can thank God tonight. And we say, as the hymn writer said, that the harvest is passing. It's still with us. God is bringing in those who are turning to Christ. He's reaping up many tonight. A young man at Kukenja last week. And others over the country and over the world are being brought in. The harvest is still going on. But one day, very soon we believe, it will cease. It will cease. And then it might be that you will have to say that the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. We are not saved. However, we started off tonight by reading in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I want to just to bring it before you in three little hymns what I have in mind tonight in relation to being saved. The first point is in Luke 19. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save. That's the first point. We read in Isaiah that he was mighty to save. He is mighty to save. We read also in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. That he's able to save. Able to save to the uttermost. Just these three simple things. It's easy to remember. He came to save. He's mighty to save. And he's able to save to the uttermost. However, here was a man. And would to God that were some Zacchaeus tonight who had a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what motivated him, whether it was by report what he had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he had heard him doing, the wonderful miracles and so on. But however, when the Lord was passing by this way, Zacchaeus had a real desire to see him. And I think we can say it tonight without stretching it too far that the circumstances in which Zacchaeus was, we have in our meeting tonight, we can say without, as we say, stretching the point too far, without being over dramatic, that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way tonight, or that you might realize it, and you might realize that this is your golden opportunity. It would seem that this was what was passing through Zacchaeus' mind. Well, he's passing by. I have this desire to see him. But you know, there was one or two things that hindered him. First of all, he was small of stature. The crowd was, big crowd there. He couldn't see past him. But it didn't put him off. And you know, it's like this today. People make excuses. Make excuses. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by this way. Never excuse. It might be that you say, well, I've got friends, you know, they might think bad about me. What we're talking about tonight is something that cannot be put off. At your peril. Or that you might realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way. You might realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way. And he wants to bless you. The Lord knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew that he would find Zacchaeus up that tree. Just as in the previous chapter, he knew all about the blind man. And as he stood still for that blind man, so the Lord at this time, he looked up for Zacchaeus, and he saw Zacchaeus. But maybe something of the spirit of Zacchaeus might motivate you. It says that he ran before and climbed. Zacchaeus wasn't going to be put off. No matter what the excuse, might be, he wasn't going to be put off. Just like the blind man wasn't going to be put off. My dear friend, if there is something hindering you tonight, it's from Satan himself. You know, there's a man in the Old Testament, Joshua, the high priest, and it says something very remarkable about Joshua, that Satan stood at his right hand to resist him. To resist him. In other words, to hinder him. And it might be that Satan is putting things in your mind that would hinder you from coming to the Savior. Now remember this, that what we are dealing tonight with is eternal issues. Don't be put off. Don't bring any excuse. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing by this way tonight. Oh, that you might reach out and grab him. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Realize that he's the one who can meet you in all your need, just as he met Mary in their need. The woman with the issue of blood, the blind man as we've mentioned, and so on, many, the man with palsy. He met them all in their need. Why, this is a wonderful Savior. He meets man in all their need. And no matter what the circumstances that you're found in, Christ is more superior than your circumstances. He'll meet you in your need. Or you might say, well, my life's been so bad, there's so much that hinders me now. My friend, we are speaking about one who desires your soul tonight. He wants to bless you tonight, and he won't be put off. But he wants you to come to him. He wants you to cry for him. And here's this man, Zacchaeus. He wasn't going to be put off. And he runs. And he runs. He gives it a sense of urgency. He's passing by this way. I'll never have another opportunity. A brother in the prayer meeting asked God that the sense of urgency might be in the gospel preaching. And dear friends, any preacher worth his salt will give the gospel message a sense of urgency. Urgency. We don't preach in a take it or leave it attitude. Take it, as the hymn writer says, and happy be, but leave it, and leave it at your peril. Eternity looms before you. No matter how young, no matter how old, you're destined for eternity. You cannot alter this fact. From the moment you're born into this world, you set on that journey which will take you into eternity. But it's eternity where? Eternity where? With Christ. With Christ. And all the blessings that we've spoken about are eternity without Christ in the lake of fire. Think about it. Think about it. You know, years ago, a brother in this meeting tonight, he gave me a little poem about time. You know, I often used to think about this poem about time. I'll try and remember it. My memory is not so good. When as a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a boy I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. And still to find while travelling on, time gone. Will Christ have saved my soul by then? Amen. Oh, that you might be saved. That you might realize that time is not on your side. It's not on your side. So why not be like Zacchaeus? Don't be put off. Run to meet the Savior. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And as we'll see further down, because there was someone who was seeking to see him, the Savior was seeking Zacchaeus. Seeking Zacchaeus. And if there is a seeking sinner, you can rest assured on this fact that there is a seeking Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says of himself, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my dear friends, in our sins we are lost and away from God. But don't despair. We present to you one tonight who is seeking for you. He's seeking for you. And he came to die on account of your sins and mine. He came into this world. We've been considering, some of us, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. The Apostle Paul says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, of whom I am chief. And he met this man, such an evil man. His one desire was to stamp out the name of Christ. But he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he proved him to be one who was indeed a wonderful Saviour. So much so, in one of his books, one of his writings, he said, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you doubt such wonderful love? Can you doubt of his desires for you? That he was prepared to leave heaven's highest glory to be found in this world, and then ultimately, eventually, to give his life at Calvary's cross, all account of your sins and mine. This gospel, you know, tells us at the beginning, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, it says that there was no room for them in the inn. No room for him. It's the same gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me tonight. Yet there is room. There was no room for me in this world, but I have made room for you. He's making room for you tonight. Will you come to him? He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. And eventually, they found room for him. They found room for him on a Roman gibbet. When they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. But he was dying there, dear friends, on account of your sins and mine. And we protect, and we will protect it tenaciously, the perfection of Christ. Some would say that he's just the same of us, as us, maybe a little better. No, dear friend, a unique person, we've been reminded this week, a unique person coming into this world, coming into our condition of things, and yet here he is, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And what was required for the removal of your sins and mine? It required a perfect sacrifice. And that's why he had to give himself. Once in the end of the age, Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what he thinks about you. That is his desire for you, that you might be rid of the burden of your sins. And know what is called for tonight from you is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. No, 2 or 3 years ago we used to have open airs in the high street of Cockenzie, and I was taken up with the scriptures that were quoted. And this, I can safely say, was the most quoted scripture in the open airs in the high street of Potensi. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement before God that you are indeed the sinner. And acknowledge too that only Christ can meet you in that state. Christ is the only one who can rectify that state and make you right with God. Now these people here, when they saw what was happening in the Lord, was going to Zacchaeus' house, he said, but this man's a sinner. He's a sinner. My dear friends, God calls us sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm glad, and I'm sure many in this room are glad of the day when they realized they were sinners. Know why? Because it was opening the door to blessing. Think of what I said at the beginning. Unless you come to a realization of your need, you will remain forever unblessed. But to realize that you're sinners in God's sight, to come to this point, to acknowledge this fact, why, God is opening the door to blessing then. Well, you're a sinner, but here's a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What was said at the beginning of this gospel again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now if it had come any other way, in pomp and great glory, it wouldn't have been as a Savior. Some of us were reminded about this last night. He would have been judged. He would have had to judge the scene. But no, dear friends, when he came, just as we remarked in Luke here, chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, in Isaiah, we borrowed the little statement from Isaiah 63 verse 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save. Mighty to save. A wonderful Savior, you know. He's a wonderful Savior. He's able to meet you in your need. And you don't need to doubt if he's able to save you. He's mighty to save. And he will save tonight. The Proverbs tells us that safety is of the Lord. It's of him. It's all of him. He can save. And he will save tonight. And he will save you mightily tonight. So much so that you can go on your way rejoicing. And be able to say, along with many in this room, yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. And remember what it means. What is involved in it. Right with God. No question of any sins coming up. It might be that others say, well, sinner. It might be that others speak disparagingly of you. Oh, but you know, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in such a wonderful position in the eyes of God. He doesn't look at us. He looks at Christ. And remember, the perfection of Christ. And he sees us in that position. In Christ. Safe in Christ. The weakest child. No matter what you think about yourself, your feelings and so on. He's glad to be able to realize that you belong to Christ. Well, he's done all the work. I stand on the basis of that work. And God will never cast anything back in my face. Christ has seen to that. That's, dear friend, why we want to bring you to Christ. That you might realize that he is indeed mighty to save. Mighty to save. Now, and this, with this I close. We read in Hebrews chapter 7 that he's able to save to the uttermost. Able to save to the uttermost. All who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We might be saved tonight, and we're left here in this world. It might be that we have 10, 20, 30, 40 years ahead of us. We do not know. But you can rest assured that when Christ saves our souls, He keeps us day by day. And He's going to land us safely in heaven with Himself. And that, simply, to my mind, what it means, saved to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. Now, if you were to ask the oldest saint in this room, how have you continued so long on the pathway? Because some people use this as an excuse, you know. I would never be able to keep it up. My friend, none of us are able to keep it up. But we present to you one tonight who keeps us up, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, hold me up and I shall be safe. Hold me up and I shall be saved. And this is exactly what Christ is doing tonight in this world. He's preserving His own people, those who belong to Him. And He's going to land them safely in the glory with Himself. He saves to the very uttermost. And He'll keep you day by day. Day by day. Oh, you might say, well, the problems that I've got. Christ is far superior than any problem. Any problem you like to mention, Christ is far superior. He's over all these things. He knows all these things. He knows all about you. First of all, He wants to secure you for Himself. Young man, young woman, have you come to Christ? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Can you say of a truth tonight, yes, I'm saved? If not, why not come to Him? Remember, opportunities are running out. The harvest is passing. The summer is ending. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you belong to Christ? We are not saved. Oh, that you might not say this tonight. Not saved. Now we're going to finish by singing another hymn. But if you feel that the Lord is speaking to you, if you would like some help, something that the preacher has not made very clear, don't go away. Stay behind. We'll be too glad to speak to you. And maybe make it a little more clearer. But our desire tonight, and God knows this, we're not speaking lies tonight. Our desire tonight is that you might be saved. And this is why we're pleading with you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing in Him that He's a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior. Now we read in Romans 10, we didn't go into the detail of it, but what God is listening for tonight, and sweet music to God's ear, is to hear people confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. And we finished off with that verse in Romans 10, that whosoever, now you think about this and take it to your heart, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that cuts across all barriers. We might hear of discrimination in this world at work, of race or anything like that. But there's no discrimination with God. There's no respect of persons with God. And He's saying to us tonight, to you tonight, that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sweet music to God's ears are those who will simply say, Lord, Lord, just like Saul of Tarsus, who art thou, Lord? He wants to hear you say, He wants to hear you say to others, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Confessing Him as Lord and believing in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now remember these three simple, very simple points. That he came to save, and that indeed he's mighty to save, and that he's able to save to the uttermost. He'll keep you day by day. Now could we close by singing the hymn 149. Save for glory, yes for glory, by the work of God's blessed Son. Save for glory, wondrous story, we believe that Christ has done. Save for glory, saved by Jesus, all our meekness his alone. Meekness which the Father pleases, ours should be in Christ the Son. Now think of the second verse, and the middle of the verse, love that bore the stripes in sorrow, love that suffered on the tree, love that shares the bright tomorrow with the loved ones. That's those who are saved, with the loved ones, you and me.